take your Bible and turn to Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians, the third chapter. In Philippians chapter 3, I'll read starting in verse 17. Paul is writing and he says, "Brethren, be followers together of me. And burn them which walk so as ye had us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, their mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. From it also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be, or may be fashioned, like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." That's reading this portion from Philippians, the third chapter today. There were many things that could have hindered the Apostle Paul of continuing to follow the Lord. We could think of his personal limitations, because we know that he had some health problems. Bible scholars teach us that Paul probably had eye problems that they couldn't see very well. Others have suggested other things. And of course, we all know that he had a thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. But there were those personal limitations. Excuse me. And then there were the physical situations. By that I mean Paul being in a Roman prison. Paul could have used that and said, "I'm tired, I'm weary. I think I'll just give up this ministry and find a place to stop and rest." And then what about his past actions? I think about how that one time Paul persecuted the church that he now loves. Paul, no doubt, times would think about that. And it would break his heart. The path that he attacked the cause of Christ. I realize any of those things could have injured him in serving the Lord. But I read in verses just above the ones I read, Paul's mindset about his service. Look at verse 13. Paul said, brethren, I cannot myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said that God has birthed into my heart a desire to be faithful no matter what is happening in my life. Paul said God has given me a heart to serve Him. And He wasn't going to let personal limitations, physical situations, or past actions keep him from serving the Lord. As a matter of fact, then he said that to the church at Philippi, back in chapter 1, verse 27, Paul makes the statement. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. Paul is saying to them, I desire to stand fast, but my desire for you, whether I see you or not, I want you to stand fast. I'd like to preach today for just a little while on the thought of standing fast and pressing on. Standing fast and pressing on. There is in our text, first of all, a call to imitation. Paul says in verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me. That sounds like a rather bold statement to make. I realize that Paul has already told him I've not already prayed, been made perfect. I've not attained. Paul says I've not reached the pinnacle, but he said I'm striving to please the Lord. So when Paul says, be followers of me, he wasn't saying I'm perfect. Follow my life. But Paul says, just like I seek after the things of God, I desire you to follow that example. I desire you to make it your goal to follow the Lord just like I followed Him. Paul is saying that's the example I desire you to follow. But notice what else he said. Paul says in Mark them which once so as ye have us for an example. Paul said, I'm not the only one that has set an example before you. Paul said, you know that there's a lot of other people that you can have for an example. They have followed the Lord. They have served and honored Him. And he said, follow after that as well. I realize Christ is our greatest example. But I'm glad that there are others that have gone before us, setting us a good example. Whether you realize it or not, we are all in a position of influence. That word influence, it is the power of one person to affect another person without applying physical pressure. Each of us, without thought or intention or consciousness of it, are all making an impression on somebody. There are Sunday school teachers made impression on my heart. I remember sitting as a little 8-year-old boy in a primary Sunday school class, and the teacher, Miss Childers, taught me the things of God. I remember sitting in a teenage class, and a man named Earl Robinhead taught me how to be a young man serving the Lord. I am 66 years old now, but I've not forgotten those examples that they set before me. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying we're all influencing people by our lives. We influence in our community. We leave a mark on our jobs. We set an example and had the store or the gas station. I tell you, we are set an example at the house. As our children or grandchildren watch our lives, we're setting an example. Paul said, as I am following Christ, I want you to follow that same example in your own life. I thank God for people right here in this church that are setting examples for my life even today. I watch these that are battling sickness and disappointment and sorrows and all that they're facing. And I see how they keep pressing on. I watch them as they stand fast for the cause of Christ. I've watched as they got cancer diagnosis. I've watched them as they dealt with treatments. I've watched them as they have dealt with pain and sickness and sorrows. And I've heard them say, God's still good. I'm still leaning on Him. God knows what's best, and I'm trusting Him. Paul said, you've got some good examples to that church at Philippi. Said, you've got some good examples. Follow that. Stand fast and press on. Paul said there, whatever the Scriptures tell us, there was a call to imitation. Secondly, there's a warning about evil. Verse 18, Paul says, for many of whom I have told you often, and now take even weeping that they're the enemies of the cause of Christ. Paul said there are those out there that you need to watch for. There are those all around you. Paul said, just to put it bluntly, they're the enemies of the cause of Christ. What God is for, they're against. What God is against, Paul said, therefore, they're the enemy of the cause of Christ. We are around them every day. We see them at town. We see them at work. See them at ball games. See them all over the place. Paul said, realize there's evil out there. There's wickedness all around. As a matter of fact, the words that Paul uses seem to indicate some were at even one time part of the church. Paul even says some call themselves Christians. Some are out there saying they attend the church. Paul said, bottom line, they're the enemies of Christ. Do you realize every building that says church on their sign doesn't mean they're right? Just because it says church, it don't mean they honor God. There are satanic churches out there. There are churches, I see them in places I go. Churches flying their gay flags in their yard and saying everybody's welcome. I realize I wouldn't turn the pay on the sexual way. They wouldn't visit in the church. Thank God they might get saved. I don't think they ought to come into church and feel comfortable in the house of God. Adam man tell me years ago at Concord, he would come and then sit on the back row. He didn't hear the preaching and he wouldn't come back for a while. And then he would show up again. Then he wouldn't come back for a while. So one day he and I was talking. And he said, you know why I don't come no more than that? I said, well, I've wondered. He said, because it bothers me. And he said, I'm not comfortable in there. You know what his problem was? He needed to be saved. That was the problem. I am just saying, Paul tells them, be aware. There's evil out beyond these doors. Wickedness. Verse 19, Paul said, whose end is their destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, mind, earthly things. Paul said, these enemies of the cross, they're proud in their sinful lifestyle. They invite to parade it for everyone to see. My, don't we get sick and tired of watching the parade of the godliness across the streets of our counties and communities. Wickedness. Paul says they're out there. They're out there. But what do? We need to stand fast, stay firm, and just press on. Press on. Just because they're wicked, they're evil. Give time for us to sit down and quit. Paul said, I want you to stand fast and press on. I read where Isaiah 5 and 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isn't that a sad commentary of our day? Our society. But Paul says, these people are doomed. Look at the first of verse 19. His end is destruction. That word destruction means utter, complete destruction. Paul said they're headed for hell. Unless they are saved by the grace of God. There is a day that people have tried to soften that. Churches don't want a preacher preaching about the reality of hell. But Paul says it's real, they're heading for destruction. But what ought to be our attitude? Same as Paul's. He said, when I talk about this, I weep. Breaks my heart to realize there are people out there in wickedness, the enemies of the cross, that's headed for destruction. Yet ought to break our hearts. Had we pray and say, God, would you save? Could you save these that are lost? Here's a call to imitation. Here's a warning about evil. But Paul left them in this section with an assurance about heaven. Verse 20. Paul says, for our conversation is in heaven. Over time, that word conversation has changed from what it meant at that time. When we say the word conversation, we are talking about talking to somebody. But when Paul said our conversation is in heaven, Paul is saying our citizenship, our character, our home life is centered around heaven. Paul said our citizenship is in heaven. This little church at Philippi was a Roman colony, dominated by the Romans. But they tell us these people of Philippi, they were considered full citizens there. They were considered genuine citizens of the place. But Paul seemed to be saying, you may not be a citizen there, but you are a citizen of heaven. Paul is wanting them to realize that their real citizenship's heaven. They're just strangers and pilgrims passing through this old world. Paul's idea is we live here. We work here. We carry on our lives here. But our citizenship's over there. That is really our home. That is really our home. I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. The longer I live, the less I fit in. I've heard Chris talk about it on many occasions teaching. It is like square peg in a round hole. We just don't fit in this old world. This world's not home for us. Don't get me wrong. I thank God I'm a citizen of America. I thank God for our country. I've got to pray every day, God, help our nation, our leaders touch in our country. But I want to tell you something, my great anticipation is what's going on under there. That is where my heart really lies. And Paul said in verse 20, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That word look, they tell us, speaks of an attitude of intense yearning and eager awaiting for the coming of the Lord. Paul said, we're yearning, we're longing, we're desiring for Jesus to come. Alice and I, after she got off from work Friday, she came home, got me, and we drove to town. She was going to do a couple of things. And she was driving, and I was just looking at the sky and the clouds, thinking that to myself, saw a beautiful, beautiful, perfect gray white cloud. I mean, one of those pretty ones. That was against the blue sky. And thought ran through my mind, Lord, that'd be a good one for you just to step out on. Sound the trumpet and call us home. That would be a good one, Lord. He didn't do it. But as I rode on a little farther, I saw others. And in my heart I said, Lord, be honest with you, any of it would be all right if you'd just come home today. There is in my heart an intense longing, a yearning for Him to come. You say, why, preacher? Because what He said in verse 21, Paul said, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He's able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Paul said when He comes, He's going to change this old vile body. That means this old body of humiliation. This old body that aches and groans and moans. And this old body that hurts. I was a coming whiz on the way to church this morning, riding up Sugarloaf Road, and all my hands were hurting. Thought, well, there's coming some bad weather, I figure. It's probably a front coming through. Thank God one day there'll be no more arthritis. Thank God there'll be no more back pain, back spasms. One day there'll be no more cancers, no more heart attacks. Stephen, you'll never run some of those horrible calls where people's bodies are mangled and torn up. There'll be no more children dying. There'll be no more difficulties, sorrows, sadness, no cancers, no treatments. Because when Jesus comes, He's going to change us. Change us completely. Paul says, with all that in mind, stand fast and keep pressing on. This whole world's evil, it's hard, it's difficult. pain and problems surround us, sin and wickedness attack us. All sin just staying fast, keep pressing on, because Jesus is going to come. There's no hymn that says this: when our glorious King shall come, all is ransomed home to bring, then anew. This song will sing hallelujah, what a Savior. Thank God one day standing in His presence, we'll not say, Lord, I had a hard time down there. No, we'll stand and say, hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. That's the message of my heart. That's what God touched my heart this week to share with you. A challenge to us all, myself included. Stand fast and keep pressing on. Brother David, would you give us a song? And we'll give an invitation. There may be a need. It is in somebody's heart and life. Somebody's just not where you need to be in the Lord. There could even be somebody you've realized more and more you're just not ready to meet Him because of sin in your life. That can all change today. You'll just bring it all to Jesus and bow in an altar of prayer. He can do a work in your heart today. Let's stand. Let's sing, brother.